you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a funk Friday. We made it. Congratulations. Bye. Weekend is right around the corner. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
Ooh. Oh, it's all good over here, man. It is funky Friday. We were just talking. Yeah, it looked like it went by fast.
Felt fast.
It went by really, really fast. It is Friday. You know we live for this day, buddy, because we got 3 hours of it's already weekend for us, so it don't even matter, man.
Yeah, I kind of felt like the weekend started last night.
It did, dude. It really, really did, man. So hopefully everybody out there had a good day as we got a break from the heat just a little bit. And everything. It's supposed to be nice this whole weekend. And then as soon as I asked, got to go back out to Flower.
Yeah.
So turn it up.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. Yes. I hadn't seen it yet. And this morning, I started seeing reports about some crazy heat, whatever they call it. It's like a heat blanket or something. I don't know. Yeah. I was about to sit over the South next week. Perfect time for us to go sit in the parking lot.
Bring it.
Talk about football. It's going to be, I think, 98 degrees on Tuesday. So there we go.
Bring it, baby.
Now, I'm glad that yesterday I forgot to bring. I went to the store on Wednesday night and got all stocked up for camp. Forgot to bring all the stuff yesterday. Now, luckily, yesterday wasn't too hot. I'll bring it next week. I got you a new fan.
My man.
New Spritzer fan because you said you couldn't find yours, right? And last year you got us the belt fans, right? I got you a necklace fan.
My dude.
Yeah, it's like a chain, but with a fan on it.
Hell yeah, man.
You'll be the coolest guy.
We're going to be cool as hell because I'm telling you, because we'd be out there for 2 hours and don't nobody be out there but the people that are packing up all the community stuff and everything.
Right.
I'm going to wear a tank top the last hour.
Yeah, good idea.
I think so, Andy.
Good idea.
I think so. Because, y'all, I mean, I think so. I think I'm just going to rock down. I'm going to make sure it's a nice one. They don't just regular white one.
not like the undershirt.
Yeah, not like the undershirt. But I'm going to have a tank top under my shirt. And then once, you know, all the other people leave, I'm like, I'm just going to be out there. Just me, you, Gordo, and my tank top. me, you, Gordo, and the tank top.
I thought you were going to say me, you, Gordo, and the guns or something like that.
Yeah, that's going to be
suns out, guns out.
Hell yeah, dog. It's warm.
Should I do it too?
Why not? I know we got about a month. a little bit over a month before that.
You wrote
that first Friday in the studio.
You wrote a check.
We'll be up in this thing.
We're gonna have to cash in on Fridays.
But
Friday they're in football season. We're gonna wear tank tops.
But they gotta win, right?
If they lose the first game, we're not.
We're not doing
it.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I was making sure.
So God, watch them start 9-0. I hope they do.
I do too.
I hope they start 9-0.
I want to wear a headband and a tank top to work every Friday.
Gladly, I'm gonna have to get some new tank tops. I don't think I only have three or something. But
I'll let you borrow some.
Okay. That sounds.
I have drawers of them.
If you listen to what Michael Penix said yesterday, they might start 9-0. I like the confidence from the young quarterback.
It's first day. He's going to be confident.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love it. Like, I don't know. To me, stuff like that, you know, I don't know if people are going to blow it out of proportion one way or the other, but like, to me, there's only upside in saying things like that. I mean, I suppose if the offense looks really bad midway through October, people might point back to it and be like, you said you were going to be this.
And that will happen.
And that will happen, but I don't expect the offense to be like that. Now, if they're the number one offense in the NFL, then he can say he called it back in July, which would be great. But I like that he has the confidence in that group. He should. I like what he said about Kyle Pitts, about just sort of getting ahead of all of it and being like, yeah, you saw that I threw it to Pitts a lot today, huh?
Right.
Going to happen a lot, which is great. It sort of takes some of that pressure off of a little bit, some of the pressure and the questions, the narrative off Pitts, and puts it on himself, which is, I don't know, a good quarterback leadership to me.
I think it's exactly what it is. And like you just said, the leadership part about it, because sometimes you just want – I hate the word throw him a bone, but make him, you know, come out and praise, you know. And he did a great job with Kylan from what I was reading. From a lot of people that I trust, training camp notes, Kyle was having a nice day yesterday. And, I mean, the dude, we already talked about it in August. I mean, the dude is a freakish athlete that I think if he's given opportunities, he's going to come through more times than not. Now, he's got to be on the field in this offense. You got to do more than just make plays if you're at the position that he is, that the position he plays. You know, and I'm not going to go say I'll have all his confidence, but I think this is Kyle understands, and I hope he understands. This is a big year for him.
He has to,
and
he knows.
And he, I think, you know, when you talking about what other guys are making at your position, you know, you want to find a way to get into that category. So Well, for Michael to go out there, I'm not saying he went out of his way to throw Kyle the ball. Maybe it was just the looks that were given to, you know, because it's the first day of install. Everything is not, you know, everything is pretty basic the first day. You want to get out there, run around with you guys. I always talk about training camp is the first day of install, the same first day of install that you've been doing forever.
Yeah.
You know, so it ain't nothing new or anything like that.
I don't think either one of us are going to sit here and try to make anything more out of the actual, like, throwing to pits and catching the ball in those 11-on-11s than it is.
Yeah.
It's good. It's fine.
It's like, good.
It doesn't really mean anything going forward, but it's nice. To me, the more important thing was just him acknowledging it. Being like, yeah, I know what you blankers are talking about in there.
Yes.
I know, because you know, Pitts did the smart thing, too.
Who's gotten more crap this offseason? Kirk Cousins and Kyle.
Yeah, Kirk probably more.
Yeah, obviously.
Certainly
Kirk
nationally.
But I'm just saying, it's been Kyle.
Absolutely.
It's been Kyle for the last 2 years. And because of the where he was drafted. Now, if Kyle was a third-round pick something like that, yeah, but he was number 4 overall pick.
Yep.
And so with that, and Kyle knows this, with that comes a responsibility that people or expectation that people have for you. And I'm not going to say Kyle was overdrafted. It seems like it now, but a lot of people had Kyle as one of the top 5 prospects in that draft. They just did. It is what it is. But I have high hopes for Kyle. I always have, because I just, you know, one, I'm partial to the position. Two, I just think this dude has natural gifts that are not a lot of tight ends are born with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just hopefully that, you know, he's played well when he has good quarterback play.
That's right.
He's played well when he has good quarterback play. So hopefully that unlocks him and he goes out and produces.
Yeah, he's been unlocked.
Yeah.
Intermittently.
They lost the key.
Yeah, they lost the key.
Yeah, lost the key.
They lost the key.
Kirk got a locksmith.
Yeah.
So Michael Penix is the new locksmith.
Can he pick a lock?
I don't know. Yeah, there it is. Michael Penix.
The locksmith.
Michael Penix is the new locksmith for Kyle Pitts.
If they got like 6 touchdowns by Halloween or something like that, that's an endorsement
deal
waiting to happen.
Right there.
There's got to be. I don't know who the big locksmith is in town or whatever, but get in touch with Penix's people.
Yeah, man.
Michael Penix, the locksmith?
Yeah, dog.
Him and Kyle Pitts in the commercial. Together,
I can see it.
He's throwing spirals like through the keyhole.
I can see it.
Oh,
I can see
this
it.
This is great.
I can see it.
Okay, so now that we've done that, I'll tell you what I did. I don't know if I was going to say this on the radio or not today, because it might be a little too optimistic and ridiculous. But so what? I don't care. It's that time of year. I'm trying to speak it into existence with Kyle Pitts this year. If you look at the 4-week stretch in between the Tampa games, right, week 5 to week 9 mm-hmm. last year, where Kirk was playing his best. The offense was playing. I mean, by the end of that game, the second win against Tampa, Kirk Cousins was a top 3 passer in football in terms of yardage. In that 4-game stretch, Kyle Pitts was his most productive that he's ever been in a 4-game stretch in his entire career. And so I realize it's hard to say, okay, take that 4-game stretch where he was more effective than he's ever been and spread that out over an entire season. Because it's hard to – I mean, he was more effective than he's ever been. Hard to say he could do that for 16 or 17 games. But if you did, that's 80 catches, mm-hmm. it's 1,200 yards, mm-hmm. it's 10 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the type of stuff that you would expect from a number 4 overall pick.
Yes.
And that at least gives you a glimpse into the idea that he can do it.
Yes.
And that's when he had that – that was the most competent the quarterback play was – all year, and the most competent quarterback play he's had since his rookie year with Matt Ryan.
Yes.
So it's not crazy to talk yourself into the idea that in the right, with the right quarterback play, and I don't even think he's been unmotivated. Maybe he has. I don't know. I don't care. But assuming that he knows what's at stake this season, and I think that he does. I don't think it's crazy to talk yourself into thinking that he can have a really good year.
I don't either. But I think the biggest thing with it is, you know, the consistency part about it. And a lot of times, and I can always speak from experience, you know, sometimes you get frustrated with the fact that you're open so much or you're doing everything you can to get open and the ball is not flying your way.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there's so many things and so many factors that go into that. You know, somebody got beat, quarterback was rushed or something like that. There's so many factors that go into it. Why pass catchers don't catch a lot of balls. I mean, don't catch balls sometimes is because you're open like hell. Because I've seen Kyle open, but I've also seen what goes around the quarterback before getting to him. I've seen a point where I didn't think Kyle was running on certain plays.
Yeah.
So it goes in and out. I ain't hit a dump on Kyle because too many people have done that already.
There's no point at this point.
I think that when you look at this offense as a whole with Michael Penix, His job is hard. It's hard as hell. I still think it's the hardest position to play in sports is an NFL quarterback. That's just my opinion. But when you think about the fact that you get experience by playing more, right?
Yes.
He's played three games. Now, I'm not going to give him the excuse of three games because I've seen rookie quarterbacks come in the league and play well. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give him that. But those guys, we've seen more of the good than the bad. Those guys had growing pains. I've seen some throws with James like, oh, that's a rookie throw. Or C.J. Stroud the year before, oh, mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, and things like that. So it happens. But the biggest thing with him is you got to limit those mistakes because they're going to be mistakes. There just is. And, I mean, the most veteran quarterbacks in the ball have mistakes. Balls they want back or things like that. His thing is that he just can't do that. You mentioned it yesterday. Some components at 58% is not going to win games.
You can't do it.
It's not going to win games in this league. Mm-hmm. Now, how much of that was learning all those different things? Definitely was. You know, the first game of the year, it just started throwing at these guys because we knew when we were talking to Moody during the summer, he's like, I haven't caught a ball with Michael Penix. You know, this is just Michael goes with the twos, Kirk goes with the ones, and like any other practice, we don't rotate them. A lot of times the starting receivers don't stay out after practice with the young quarterback and things like that, so he didn't have that rhythm with him. He got the rhythm. He had thrown with these dudes since spring. Mm-hmm. And then they had a little throwing camp whenever it was a couple weeks ago before camp, so as you go through camp, you get more and more comfortable. And as you get more and more looks, and I'm not talking about going against your same guys, when you have that inter-squad scrimmage, if you get in the preseason games, you might find a way to get – that's how you find a way to get rhythm.
Maybe we can do this a little bit later in the show when we have a little bit more time because we've got about 60 seconds before we go to break here. But about a year ago at this time, when we knew – who the coaching staff was going to be and where they came from and all of that. The conversation about Zach Robinson coming from a Sean McVay system in Los Angeles and how much one tight end they play. We just assumed they would play more than that. We just thought that they would play two tight ends. They played as much 11 personnel last year as anyone in the NFL.
Yeah, I didn't understand it, but sometimes
Just wonder, is there a conversation to be had now? And I'm sure we'll talk to Zach Robinson at some point during camp or some of the reporters will. Like, do you evolve from that a little bit? Like, you know, because maybe that's a way to get Kyle Pitts more involved and more comfortable. No,
it could be. I mean, I think that the biggest thing with him, Andy, is you got to get him involved early. That's my part. But if they don't, you can't check out. Because one thing I always learned, because I had a mistake because I wasn't ready. I was like, damn, the ball's not coming and all those different things. And then when it came, I wasn't ready for it. And you can never not be in that moment because you're just running routes, running constantly. You're open. You're working your ass off to get open. And the damn ball is not flying there. And I learned this early in my career. As I, you know, my coach sat me down after every Sunday game. I would have to get up Monday morning, go watch film with my tight end coach, and he would show me. Look at it. All right, now you see this. Great route. Look at the pocket. Look at the quarterback. He's rushed. He's sped up. All those different things. But you got to stay engaged at all times. And you know, Zach, he's a first year play caller. He learned on the job also. Yeah. So how does he adjust?
He was doing what he was comfortable with.
Yes, exactly. And so how do you adjust and put more in your toolbox? Mm-hmm. As an offensive coordinator, knowing what you did last year.
Yeah. Now, it'll be interesting to see how everybody's a little different, maybe a year wiser, a year more comfortable with one another as this season gets underway. Yesterday was the first day of training camp. A lot of fun storylines coming out of it. We were just kind of talking about McGarry because we hadn't seen him in the summer. He was there yesterday. He had some really funny quotes yesterday, some stuff you're going to love from Caleb McGarry about getting paid. Anyway, we'll get to all that coming up next.
Get your money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The potential, we should be the best in the league. You know, with the guys we got around us, you know, we got a great offensive line as well. You know, those guys work extremely hard in the trenches. You know, with Coach Leffer out there leading those guys, doing a great job with those guys, you know, we should be unstoppable. So that's our goal. We want to be number one in all the categories on the offensive side of the ball. So
there you go.
I like that damn Coach Leffer, man.
There you go. You like who?
Coach Leffer, the O-line coach? Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. No, I like that from Penix there too. Expectations. We expect to be the best.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. We're hoping to be, I don't know, 12th? Last year, we were 13th in total offense at the end of the year.
Yes.
This year, we're shooting for 12th.
Yeah, at least.
Trying to move up one spot.
Yeah, I mean, no. Let's get into top 10. Let's get 9.
I know. I don't want to make too many headlines. Yeah, no, of course. That's what Penix is going to say. He's confident. He's quarterbacked really good offenses before.
Yes.
Now, granted, that was in college, and a lot of NFL quarterbacks quarterbacked good offenses when they were in college.
Bet they did.
But that's the last time we really saw him be a starter. So, hey, he's confident. I like it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want them up there passive. You don't want them there like, yeah, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
No, you want them to be confident. It was a first day, a lot of fun. I mean, you think about the lifelong dream of being a starting quarterback in the NFL team. And
Now he is.
And he's the unquestioned dude. Now he's got to go out there and play well, I'm pretty sure he will. But I think that, putting the expectations that this team can be a Super Bowl team or something like that with Michael Penix, let's win a game.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, let's win a game.
Let's not do that.
Let's win a game.
Let's not do that.
And I think we'll
let's hope that all these young guys play so well this year and they win enough games this year to where next year we're like, all right. Windows open.
Yes.
I don't know. It's the NFL. Anything can happen. Like, teams that you don't expect to make runs. Teams that you think are going to be good aren't. You're one injury away, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that'd be really fun if there's enough optimism for that kind of stuff to start.
Yeah.
It was day one of training camp.
Yeah, day one.
Most of these guys have never played.
Yes, it's day one of training camp.
I'm not going to say Super Bowl.
It was day one of training camp, which is fine. And I think, we here in Atlanta, so we cover the Falcons, but I'm sure it was like that at every press conference after every training camp, first practice in the entire league.
I heard we always talk about the people that work across the hall from us here.
Okay.
I don't know what they do, but they're all kind of strange, yes. Right? They must have had some people from out of town at their office, because I went to the bathroom during one of the breaks a couple days ago, and there was a bunch of people. They must have just got out of a meeting. They were all in there. And one of them was a Browns fan. He was like, training camp starts today. Best day of the year to be a Browns fan.
Yep.
And I was like, amen. Best day of the year to be a Falcons fan the last handful of years, too. So
yeah, man.
Can relate. But yeah, no, everybody's optimistic this time of year. You should be.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to be.
No, I mean,
but some teams have genuine reason to be more optimistic than others.
Yeah, but you're going to drive yourself damn crazy if you sit around and wait for something bad to happen.
Exactly.
Because
it might.
Because it might, but I mean.
But if you expect it to, then it happened. Then the bad thing happens twice.
Yeah, so
right?
Just enjoy it until it does. Sometimes some people like to brace for the fall and tell them certain. No.
But I don't even think they're bracing
for the
fall.
Let's just fall off of it.
Yeah.
let's just fall.
Expect something great to happen.
Yeah, let's just all fall.
And then if it doesn't,
get the wind knocked out of us.
We've been there before.
Yeah.
We're familiar with it.
Yeah, we got tough ass skin right here.
Yeah, you got scar tissue. They've done it to you before.
Yeah, they're going to always do it to you, too. That's all I'm saying. Just go ahead and just.
Maybe not, though. Maybe some year it won't be like that. Maybe some year a good thing will happen.
Maybe. And it could be. Maybe this could be the year, though. That's all I'm saying. It could be the year.
Could be the year.
It could be.
There
the
we go.
It could
there
be.
Was, the year. There's a midday show in 31 other cities in America today saying could be the year.
Yeah.
Except for in Cleveland. They're not saying that in Cleveland.
How do you know?
Because they're, come on.
How do you know?
Joe Flacco's going to be their starter.
I know.
That guy's older than me.
Joe can play. No. Joe can still play.
And he's going to.
Yeah, he's going to play. Now, how effective that'll be?
Not well.
Not well.
Not very effective.
I love what Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett, I love Miles. Miles said the team goes zygote. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. No, they as don't. Great as you are.
Yeah, no. You've been the best defensive player in football for 5 years.
Yeah.
You guys have played in one playoff game.
Yeah. So.
Unfortunately, they don't go as you go.
Exactly, man. I love Miles. Miles said. We go as I go. No, they don't.
Yeah, and it's the right thing to say. Again, people are very good at saying the right things.
Yeah.
And then we hear that, and then we say the true thing.
Yeah.
They say the right thing. Yeah. We say the true thing.
Right.
And the true thing is, no, they don't.
No, they don't. What's my favorite reel when the dad was it? No, you ain't. No, you don't. No, you ain't. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
No, you're
exactly
not.
Right.
No, you're not.
No.
No, you're not.
Now, you're going to be good. And you're going to be rich.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
You deserve every penny of it.
No, you're not.
But team's not going to be any good.
No, they're not.
Unless you somehow magically can play quarterback.
Yep. Because they don't have a quarterback.
They got four quarterbacks.
But they don't
have
anybody.
Which said they might keep all of four of them on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, I saw Barry say that. I was like, he said, though, there is a view.
There's a world.
There's a world. Yeah, there's a world that we keep four quarterbacks. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're going to get Joe Flacco and the two young boys.
Yeah. Who's the odd man out?
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Dang. Super Bowl champion. Wasn't he? He was on the Eagles, wasn't he?
He played in the Super Bowl, didn't he?
I think at the end.
That's right. He did play in the Super Bowl.
I think he kneeled on the ball. Yeah. I think Kenny Pickett took the final snap of the Super Bowl.
I mean, you got a Super Bowl champion in Joe Flacco, and you got Super Bowl experience. You got Super Bowl experience in that
room. What you have is championship pedigree.
Yeah. Yeah. You got Super Bowl winning quarterback, and then you got a Super Bowl caliber quarterback in Kenny Pickett. He did take a snap.
It's DNA.
He did take a snap.
Championship DNA is what they have there. So you got to keep all four of them. Yeah. All right, here's James Franklin at Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas.
A lot of our beat writers did not come to this because they couldn't afford to get out here. And the majority of our teams are near Chicago, where this used to always be. The majority of our teams are near Indianapolis, where this used to be. And it creates a different environment. I walk around the lobby. I don't see any signage. I don't see anything for the Big Ten. I don't see people getting autographs. I don't see, it's a different vibe and it's a different feeling. I think that other conference, when they have their meetings, there's essentially a press conference every single day at the end of the meetings. It keeps people talking about that conference at a time of the year and makes them relevant. We're not doing that.
He has a point.
I agree.
He has a point.
With everything James Franklin
said. Because, what about Vegas says Big Ten? Nothing. You know, nothing at all.
Nothing.
You know, and so I understand what he's saying as far as the beat writers can't get out. I'm not studying them folks. My whole thing is like, it just don't make no sense to be in Vegas. And you got three new West Coast teams. They the new kids.
Four.
Yeah. We got Washington, Oregon, UCLA, and USC. I leave out UCLA all the time. Show ass on a plane and come out of here.
Yeah, you're the ones that wanted to be in the Big Ten so bad.
You wanted to be in the Big Ten so bad, you come over here.
Yeah, fly out.
Yeah, man.
Or drive. I don't care.
Yeah, man.
Find a way to get here.
But I do understand what he's saying
at
that process, because he's absolutely correct. Nothing, I mean, that's Vegas is Mountain West.
Yeah, man, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, and nothing to do with Big Ten.
And I don't know. I guess their thought process is, like, it makes us seem bigger. No, it doesn't.
It does. I'm almost positive they had to have some kind of thought process like
we're going to go to Vegas.
We're in Vegas, baby.
We're going to take
Vegas!
We're taking over the nation. No, you're not. You're going to have a boring media day that a lot of the media can't even attend, so they're not going to write about it. Maybe they'll watch the videos online and then aggregate it, but they're not going to be able to cover it like they normally would.
Yes.
And college football is at its best when it's regional.
Yes,
like, that's
it
the thing about it. Like, the Big Ten is the Midwest. Yes. Like, that's what it
but
is.
But in a Midwest city, like James, like Coach was saying, Chicago, Indianapolis. Yes, there. Not no damn Vegas.
Amen. Hey, Austin Riley. Activated off the injured list. He will be back with the Braves as they take on the Rangers. Nacho Alvarez.
Nacho!
Back down to the minor leagues. Had a nice little run.
It was nice
to see Nacho.
It was better than the first one.
Better than the first one.
Yes, it's better than the first one.
It's a big, sad day as it relates to the Braves.
Yeah, dog.
It has come to an end.
And I saw it, and I was just thinking to myself, are we sure?
I'm not.
Okay, I'm about to say, are we sure
I'm not.
That Jesse is just going to leave?
Jesse Chavez has announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. We'll see.
That's that. I'm just too old for this. Like Murtaugh said on Lethal Weapon, I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah, let somebody call Jesse in about a month. Somebody needs a middle reliever for a playoff push.
Man, Jesse better go play church league, man. Jesse better go play church league.
Since here, he might become a coach.
There you go. I think go play church league and go dominate.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You see Jesse just sliding the first.
Would he dominate, though? You know what
I mean? Yes, he would. All right, he's still a damn major league pitcher. All right, yes, Jesse would go to church league and dominate. Now it would always be Big Barry, who it was politics. You know, he plays.
Yeah.
How do y'all say it? He plays some high school ball.
He still might give up a double, though.
Yeah.
You know,
those guys can't hit that 91.
But y'all know Deacon Barry, who played high school ball, who almost got his opportunity, but the farm went under, so he had to stay.
Exactly.
He had to stay back and raise the cow.
Had to help mom.
Yeah, had to stay back and raise the cow.
But, had to step up and be the man of the house.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have played in the big leagues, too.
He played in the big leagues, too.
It really is funny. Like, everybody who played, like, varsity sports in high school, not everybody, but, like, I don't know what percentage, 75% of people have told themselves that story.
Yeah.
Man, if it would have just been, no, it wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You were not.
You were not. I agree with that, though. Like old Jim Davis. Like, that's not
you. Yeah.
Like, you go to Fort Valley. You go to Fort Valley on Friday night. there's cats in there wearing their damn jersey. And it's looked like a halter top because they got the big belly now. Numbers have faded off.
Dude, you're talking about my father-in-law.
Yeah, numbers have faded off and everything.
My father-in-law wears his high school football jersey to homecoming.
I just can't believe that.
Well, believe it.
I can't believe Jim does that.
Believe it, because he does.
Yeah.
And Julie wears his other one.
Oh, no. He got his wife in on it?
Yeah, he's got the home and away.
This is his and not somebody
else. Yeah, it's his. Yeah, it's his. But, and then we were back for last year, and I'm not laughing at him. It's wonderful. It's small town. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's my family, too, by the way. Yeah. They might be listening. They got the app up there. Jake and Jordan were home. That's my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. And Jake had his old jersey, and she wore his, or her, his too. And me and Ashley were feeling a little left out.
Damn. So Jim's passing it down.
Yeah, man.
Passing it down to his boy.
Hell yeah, Jake played too. When Jim was there, they went 4-0 against Pisgah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What's the rest of the records?
Pisgah's had a good run lately. I think Jake only beat Pisgah once.
Oh, okay.
That's their big rivalry.
Yeah, yeah.
Tuscola and Pisgah.
You think this, like, when y'all at the dinner table, does Jim hold that over his head?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. No, there's definitely some clout in the family over that one. All right. That's what's trending.
I beat Pisgah 4 times, Jake.
How many times you beat him, Jake? all right. We'll let you hear more of what Michael Penix had to say. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday after practice, so we'll let you hear a good chunk of that interview. We'll get back into a handful of different Falcons topics. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That just makes you feel good on a Friday, doesn't it? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show. Andy and Randy, Funk Friday. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta.
Home last night.
I know, that's the thing. That's the part of it. You gotta sing. Anyway, golf open to everybody. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle.
Wake up, Rick.
Some interesting headlines here to start the year with all these teams now back in training camp. Yeah. It sounds like good, again, even better news than we had gotten yesterday, kind of a follow-up to the Justin Fields thing. Christian Wilkins is gone from from Vegas. Yeah. We'll get into that.
That statement they put out there.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. You're done with him.
Good riddance.
Okay, see you later. That's one thing about Pete Carroll when he took over the Seahawks, too, he did the same thing. Just like we're cleaning house.
Yep.
Like, you know, if you want to be here, you know, here's the standard. And, you know, if you're not there, then fine. It doesn't matter who you are.
We'll
move on and figure it out. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some college football conversation at 12:20 as well as ACC and Big Ten Media Days came to an end. We'll let you hear what James Franklin had to say yesterday. Bill Belichick met with the media as well for the first time at a Media Days as the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. So we'll get to that too. But yesterday being the first day of training camp, a lot of very big interviews on the radio station. If you missed our conversation with head coach Raheem Morris, you can find that on the website, 929thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. Subscribe to the podcast, Andy and Randy Podcast. It'll be right there on your phone every single day. Download the Odyssey app. You could catch the interview on the Odyssey app as well. If you want to rewind to about 11:05 yesterday, you can do that. A lot of different ways to listen to it. Dukes and Bell also had Michael Penix on their show and started off by asking him, how does this year feel different from last year?
The only difference is, I mean, I got a different title this year, you know, but I always cut the main thing. You know, the goal is to do whatever I can to help this team win football games, and that's going to continue to stay that. So still the same mindset, you know, just a different title this year.
You were known as a great leader, man, a captain at Washington. Do you feel more comfortable taking that leadership role this season?
Yeah, man. I've always been comfortable in that role. You know, it don't come overnight. You know, obviously you got to gain that trust from the guys. And, you know, each and every day I continue to try to prove that, make sure the guys know that I'm somebody they can look at as a leader. And, you know, I just got to come out here and be consistent each and every day. And my play is going to speak for itself. So,
Michael Penix joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So a lot of conversation about Kyle Pitts this offseason. Saw that you guys got together, not just Pitts, but your receiving core. Yeah. Did you orchestrate that? Did you call the guys and say, hey, let's hook up and get together? And do you feel like you got some quality work in? Or was it just, hey, hanging out and get to know guys?
Yeah, to be honest, Mooney, Darnell Mooney, he called that up. You know, I definitely knew I wanted to get with the guys, but Mooney, he said it's on him this year. he took it this year, and he was like, hey man, because I know you fresh to it. You know, this is your first year starting. You know, he wanted to take over this year. You know, bringing the guys out, you know, to Cali and working together. So, but that's just the leader that he is as well. You know, but next year it'll definitely be on me. So,
what's up, Darnell?
Darnell Mooney, baby. Hey, what's your relationship like with Zach Robinson, especially now that you are going to be the man from the jump, as opposed to taking it in midseason last year? Anything different with the playbook, or is he working to your strengths?
My relationship with him is great. You know, he trusts me, I trust him, and he's gonna call whatever's on that playbook, because he know as long as we're on the same page, you know, whenever we get out there, you know, we're gonna go out there and make it work. You know, every call not gonna be great, every play by me not gonna be great, but at the end of the day, we gotta lean on each other, you know, in those hard times and even in those good times, you know, and always trust each other and, you know, always come to an understanding when it comes game day, and we locked in and we're gonna do whatever it takes to win football games.
Michael Penix joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, there was a play last year Mike and I talk about where you went to Drake, y'all missed it, and you went right back to it, yeah, and you hit it for a touchdown. And I bring this up only to say, how much confidence do you instill not only in Drake, but also maybe Kyle Pitts, and say, hey, I'm coming to you. Dog, I'm getting you to rock. Like, does that help? And is that you? Do you do those things for those guys, or is it just a situation that happens and plays out throughout the course of a game?
Man, it's what we do, not on Sundays, but, you know, throughout the week, each and every day, you know, gaining that confidence, gaining that trust with those guys, and allowing them to understand, like, hey, man, we nobody perfect. You know, we strive to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. Everybody's not going to make every single play, you know, but as long as we continue to play the next play, you know, the ball will find you, and I'm always going to find an open guy. So they know that. They'll get the ball.
You remember that play?
I do.
We do, because that's the thing. Michael Penix Jr., our quarterback, joins us on Dukes and Bell. When we talk to people around the country about the Falcons and they ask us about you, I say that Sunday night game against the Commanders, that was like a big moment. It's like a playoff type atmosphere, and you made one of those great throws to Kyle Pitts for a touchdown. Did you go back and look at all your film from last year?
Yeah, I did. I did.
What'd you think?
Oh, I mean, it was a lot of things to work off of. You know, obviously, you know, it was tough connecting, you know, early on, you know, but, you know, as we continue to get better each and every day, you know, just spending all that time, you know, outside of the game field and even off the field as well, you know, just building that relationship with those guys, you know, that connection to continue to build. And I've been seeing it build all season. I can't wait to see what we do this year.
SEC Media Days just happened. Kalen DeBoer was in town, and he said, hey, you came to the crib. Y'all kicked it. You have a great relationship with him. What is he telling you as you now made your way into the professional ranks and helping you as long as he's known you? Probably he says he's known you better, you know, as far as an offensive coordinator and being around you than anybody else.
Yeah, man, he just told me to be myself. You know, he said that's all I got to do, be myself. He told me to just trust my abilities and, you know, just go out there and have fun. You know, that's the biggest thing he always say, just have fun, you know, and be you. And that's the main thing that he always told me.
Speaking of having fun, man, people loving the vibe, the working class hero, man, being at Costco, when you get the word, you're going to be the starter. What else did you do this summer, man? What was your off season?
This summer, I didn't really do too much. I went back home to my city in Dade City. You know, I had a kids camp there. You know, truly enjoyed that. You know, all the kids that came out and supported. And
had a street named after you, didn't you?
Got a street named after me. That was a blessing as well, too, you know. So those things, I got out to fish a little bit, been trying to golf, get my golf game better, but that's about it.
How's it? You already catch. Yeah. Yeah, we're all fishing. Well, we try to fish.
Yeah, we went trout fishing.
Okay.
Yeah, out there trout.
In the golf game, what's it look like?
It's getting there. I ain't going to talk too much about it, but it's getting there.
Well, now it's go time, so it's, right. You shutting that down, right? You won't have time to do that. Yeah. Michael, what do you want to improve on, man? I mean, obviously, three-game sample space, but you know your game. You know what you're capable of. Mm-hmm. Coming into this season, you say, this is what I got to be better at. What is that?
Just the connection with the guys. You know, obviously seeing last year, you know, seeing all the plays that was left out there, you know, it's not something that, you know, I'm used to seeing. You know, I like to at least give my guys a chance. And it was the times last year where I wasn't giving them a chance, you know. So just make sure I give those guys a chance, you know, just connecting with them, you know, day in and day out, make sure that our chemistry is where it needs to be.
Do we know what the workload's going to be like in preseason? Because I know last year we wanted to see more of you in preseason. Have you talked to Coach about that yet?
No talks about that yet.
What about Kirk Cousins, man? How's that really? I know you're talking about how he's had your back. Same vibe?
Yeah, same vibe, man. He's great. Great guy. You know, he's still a leader. You know, everybody looking at him as a leader, and he's always going to be that. You know.
You feel what's going on around here? I'm talking about Atlanta. Like, with you and like how people feel and the excitement. Do you feel that?
I am a little bit, you know. I feel like once season come around, you'll see it and feel it even more, you know. But I definitely am feeling the love, you know. It's amazing, you know. I love the city, man. It's a great city. You know, I was glad I got drafted here. You know, I'm not too far from home, so be able to have family come up a lot. So it's been great.
And then finally, we talked a lot about the playoffs. We talked with A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates. You know, you're in your second year. A lot of these guys have not been in the playoffs. I mean, do you set goals like that, or just it is what it is?
No, we got to win. we got to get there, man. That's always the goal, man. The goal, trying to win every one, you know. But we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we do that.
There's Michael Penix from yesterday, day one of training camp with Dukes and Bell. Obviously, you can expect more of that as we get back out to camp next week, Tuesday and Thursday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the following couple of weeks after that. We'll talk to somebody every single day.
Right.
Obviously, got a chance to talk to head coach Raheem Morris yesterday. If you missed that conversation, that was a fun one to kick off the show. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sounds like Penix had a fun summer. Got a street named after him. Played some golf. Did some trout fishing. No time.
I mean, you always enjoy the offseason. You got to make sure you do that. But, yet you always got to know that, you know, because you don't have any more. You know, you're not going to be able to be fit. When you're an NFL quarterback, you don't got time to go fishing during the season or anything like that. So get all that in. How's trout fishing?
How is what?
You've been trout fishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between just going fishing and going trout fishing? Is there like a bait place where there's...
Yeah.
Okay, where there's trout.
Yeah, like when we would trout fish in like rivers. And whenever I've gone... bless you.
Now, would you be mad if you caught something other than a trout fish, knowing you, like you caught some brim or something?
No, I don't know. Okay. If I catch anything, I'm happy.
Yeah, but usually. You don't cook it.
It depends. You cook trout?
No, I'm saying you don't. Did you? Are you a putter backer?
I've cooked trout.
No, well, you caught?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I thought you were a putter backer.
Oh,
I
just didn't hear just making assumptions.
Yeah, I did. Huh, okay. I did. I thought you were a putter backer.
No, I've eaten many of the fish that I've caught.
Okay. All right. Just, I was like, you know, like the people they hold it up and look at mouth on that guy. And then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't go salmon fishing to throw them back.
I didn't think so.
Like you catch them and you eat them.
But to go salmon fish, you got to have like a excursion. You just don't go on the boat and go for them, right?
No, we wouldn't even go on the boat. We would just go down and fish off the jetty where the river would come to the ocean.
Oh, really?
In Washington, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeti.
Jetty.
Jetty.
Yeah.
Is trout, is that a fly or is that only salmon?
You can. You can. Yeah, you can. We would fly fish for trout.
Is that
trout.
Not more, a lot more difficult than a regular open face reel?
It's fun to me because you're doing more, right? I mean,
yeah. Oh, you got to do all the whipping and
You kind of, you know, you're going back and forth and all that kind of repeatedly. You get a little tired of it though,
on
if you don't catch anything.
One fly fishing trip when I was a manager with the steakhouse.
Yeah, and, it's fun, right?
I could never get the thing. We never even really had much success.
Oh yeah, I guess learning how to
kind
do
of
the
failure.
Learning how to do the motion is kind of part of the first time you go, and then hopefully you go after that, and then you kind of know it, and then you can fish.
Yeah, fishing is always relaxing. But yeah, street named after him. We talked about that, and I was like, well, if you don't go right, do you get the street taken away? But no. and I love because I know I heard the Kalen DeBoer story when he went down to see Kalen and they hung out and all those things. So that's really cool that you still have the relationship you have, and he's in the region, so not that far to get to him. But yeah, I think the biggest thing with him is you take those three games that he has and you break them down until you can't stand watching that tape. And because that is the sample. So I'm talking about Michael just looking at what he did last year and then coming into this year with a plan. And I mean, but when you have a young quarterback, it's an organizational plan, meaning from the head coach to the OC to the quarterback coach to the quarterback. The plan for him as far as, okay, this is what Michael does and this is what he doesn't do well. But yet we want to work more on what he doesn't do well so we can get him to do that well.
Yeah.
And then try to perfect what he does well.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about what we heard from Raheem yesterday was, you know, you asked him about what he needs to improve upon and stuff like that. And he said he's got to make the layups. Like, you've got to hit those high percentage throws to keep the completion percentage up, because you're not going to hit every single deep ball. You're not going to throw that many deep balls.
No.
Even the best deep ball throwing quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't know how many times do you even take a shot during a game.
Three.
Couple. Yeah, you take a couple. Hopefully you hit them, and you got to set them up right in order to even take the chance in the first place. But yeah, I mean, the good thing about only having the three-game sample set to look at from last year is there's a lot to work on.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He missed a lot of throws.
Yes.
And part of it is, you know, unfamiliarity with one another. him and the receivers didn't work together because he wasn't the starting quarterback up until the week that he was the starting quarterback late in the year. So chemistry is going to be a part of it, but it's also on him just to make better throws.
Yeah.
And, 58% completion percentage in those three games is like, unacceptably low.
It's bad.
You can't do that.
It's bad.
He's got to get that up like 7, 8, 10% to be kind of a quality starting quarterback in the NFL, which I think he can do. I think that stuff comes with what we all just talked about. But yeah, those three games, there's plenty to look at and work on.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's he is not.
I understand everyone's optimism, and I'm optimistic
he's
too.
He's Clay.
But if you go back and look at those games, there's a lot. It's like, all right, that looks like a rookie quarterback.
Yes, he's Clay, and it's you got to mold him. You got to mold him, and you know the more hands you get on the mold. Whatever comes out of it.
You started off with a pretty good analogy but then it was like, wait a minute. I don't know much about clay.
I don't know about molding clay either, man. I mean, me and my wife, we did the whole ghost thing once.
Okay.
Yeah. You ever did the whole.
Pottery thing?
Yeah, the pottery thing. Yeah. We were molding it.
Did you make a pot?
No, Andy. It's harder than it looks.
Yeah, it looks really hard.
Yes.
No, I think it looks impossible.
Yes, harder than it looks. And, you know, me being the competitive person that I am, all I can do is do my hand like that, let it rub through it.
And then it just collapses, right? Yeah, I've never done it, but it just looks really hard.
Dude, I couldn't even get it shaped.
Really?
Yes.
Did she make one?
No.
Really?
No. I couldn't even get it shaped, dog.
Huh.
Yeah, that's some hard stuff, man.
You going to try again?
No, I'm good. It's one of those things where I can always say I've fried it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know, it's one of those things where it's like,
it's cool,
what?
Man. It's a little messy.
I'm not good at it.
Yeah,
and that's all right.
It's a little messy, but no, it was cool, man. I've done it. And I can say that I've done it, and I know I don't have to go back because she didn't like it either.
Well, hopefully that's not what happens with Penix.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, no. We want him to.
We
need him into a big old vase.
Nice vase.
Okay, thank you. I thought you were about to say vase.
No, I'm a vase guy.
Okay, me too. Vase. Vase.
Okay, good.
All right. Vase.
We'll come back and keep talking about vases and fly fishing right here. Now, we'll get to an NFL No Huddle coming up next. Hour number two, first hour of the show, as always, brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everybody. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back with an NFL No Huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.